blessed month of Ramadan.
Radio.
Okay.
I guess it's doing its own thing.
Okay.
On a remix version.
Okay. Well, we at least got a little bit of the feel of our dear late brother Isaac Hayes, and we're ready to go. We've been blessed, as you know, Brother Terrence, and I want to thank you publicly for the incredible work that you do, because I was telling someone today that I said Brother Terrence is responsible for booking, as they say in the media world, 99.9% of our guests, and you have batted 1,000. We have yet to have a guest whose presence on this program was anything less than stellar. You know, they range from MVP to Hall of Fame to Pro Bowl, and tonight is not going to be any different. We have been so blessed during this month of Ramadan to hear from brothers who are students in the ministry in the Nation of Islam, who have been specifically engaged in the study of this month of Ramadan. And I was talking with some believers earlier today, and we were talking about how we're evolving from mosque structure into nation, and we're moving toward what the ultimate goal has always been of Master Farid Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that is for this to be a way of life. And I thought it was so beautiful. Of course, we had our dear brother Demetric Muhammad, student minister out of Memphis, Tennessee, and we got his guidance. We have been blessed to have the national imam of the Nation of Islam, brother student minister Sultan Rahman Muhammad. And tonight we are going to continue in what has quickly become a tradition on Elevated Places, and to take us as Ramadan, as we begin to move toward, I can't believe how the time has passed, but we're beyond the halfway mark, and our National Historical Archivist, student minister, Brother Carlos Muhammad, is going to discuss fasting, a blessed prescription for humanity. And he will be on later in the program, and we look forward to that. And in the meantime, I'm going to turn the mic over to my illustrious co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, to share with us. You always bring what's going on around the nation. There's always something we either didn't know or didn't fully process that you bring to us. So the mic is yours, Brother Terrence. I forgot to do this. I'm excited tonight, but I want to acknowledge our executive producer, wonderful Sister Rona Muhammad, and our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And later in the program, we'll give you the information, but you have to see the program on Tuesday. In our Project Separation series, it was incredible, as well as our episode of A Time for Justice that aired on Tuesday. We are growing from a program, Brother Terrence, to a network, and we're going to continue to expand our programming so that we can reach all the different age groups and segments of our audience and our potential audience. So with that, I'm turning the mic over to you.
Well, we are here once again, and it's a blessed You know, it's a blessed Ramadan. And we're here. There's a lot going on, Ava. I'm just trying to manage everything. But I will just first say we're thankful and grateful for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we can never be thankful enough. And I think you laid it out a while back that we want to make sure that people continue to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and remember the criterion, July 4th, 2020. But before that, the unraveling of a nation, Savior's Day 2020, that started it all. And then the criterion of July 4th, 2020, and now the swan song that we just heard and we just was blessed in Chicago. And all of those are major addresses by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that we definitely need to hear. We need to go back and study because it's laying out our future. It's laying out what we need to do. And as the minister said, I'm singing your swan song. I'm singing yours. It's not mine. It's not for me. But he gave us principles, morals, direction for our own personal lives and giving us what was going on internationally that we need to watch and need to be aware of. But if we follow the path that he has set, that God has given us, given him for us, we will be the winners and we will survive this dark hour that is coming upon us. So we just need to stay focused and stay in the good direction. And I wanted to start with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Well, let me come back to that. But we also want to make sure that people continue to come study with us on Friday night, NOI.org. Go to study.NOI.org. And on Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org. And, of course, Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. And continue to log on to Ramadan Prayer Line every morning at 5 a.m., the Ramadan Prayer Line, and hear good scholarship and good words of encouragement from the Holy Quran and history of Islam and great hadith. We want to make sure that you are spiritually in tune. And don't forget, the master's class is coming up. Go to MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com. And also, as we know, the Elevated Places Network, Elevated Places Network, go to YouTube and see that great town hall on separation. But I just had to throw in there that we did have that beautiful Zoom with Attorney Crump and the whole lawsuit against Google, and it was placed in the baddest, boldest newspaper, the Final Call newspaper. So get your latest edition of the Final Call newspaper, and it also showed the different translations and all of the different languages in the countries that was tuned into the swan song on the page right before it. So you can go to finalcalldigital.com to get your digital subscription or see the brother and sister to get copies. You know, you can get physical copies, put in your hand. I got mine. Matter of fact, I met the Final Call truck and unloaded the papers and put them in the mosque. So it's a beautiful thing to make sure that you get your copy. The part I wanted to kind of wrap up on and just kind of talk about, Dr. Ava, is so many stories. There are so many occurrences, and, you know, we have been in the presence and been blessed to be around and see, you know, over the years, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and there's nothing, you know, we pray that Allah keeps us strong and holds our foundation, but I can't unsee what I saw. You know how somebody shows you something on social media, and when you see it on social media, it's like, why did you send me that? I can't unsee what I saw, that craziness, that foolishness. And, you know, it's stuck in your head, or a song that you hear on the radio and just sticks in your head. You're humming the song. Why am I humming that song? It just sticks in your head. And I say it like that because I've seen too much of the majesty of God through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to deny what I saw. I cannot not see what I saw the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan do say, and how he not only touched my life, but how he's touched those that have heard him, and seeing the product of what he has done, as we heard all of the greatness that we heard on
and heard on the separation project separation and the scholarship that we heard about how to set up towns and cities and buy property and buy home. It was a beautiful thing. But this past Sunday, we know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke again. And let me just say this. I'm going to throw myself under the bus. I was one of those people. I went on the Ramadan prayer line, and I got off of that one and then got on the other line to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The flyer said 5:45. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is coming on. So, you know, I'm looking for 5:45 for him to come on. And when he wasn't on at 5:45, I'm like, what's wrong? What's going on, the minister? What y'all doing over there? And then I heard all this technical stuff going on, and I was getting frustrated, Dr. Ava. That was just me getting frustrated, wanting the minister to come on. Then I hear that the minister's on, and me being me and want to make sure he has everything, I'm like, well, bring him right on. He's on the line. And our brother, Brother Shaheed, said he wanted to make sure the minister heard from the babies. He wanted to make
That's
sure the
right.
minister heard from the children. But me and my Negro-ness, and I'm using me because I don't know what everybody else was thinking, but I was using myself. It's like, but, well, we need to get the minister on because we always want to have the minister in his best situation and best light. And I'm sharing this is because we don't understand sometimes what we're looking at in Minister Farrakhan. I witnessed him being at a church, Reverend Willie Wilson Church, and I sat there and watched the minister sit over a couple-hour program, maybe 2 hours of a program where he came out because usually he come out, he's coming to the rostrum. But he sat there attentively and listened and participated before he even spoke, and he was patient. I sat there and watched the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan sit for those 8 to 9 hours at Aretha Franklin's funeral and not say a word and just sit there because the beauty of that man and the humbleness of this man, he was just happy to be there. It's something special about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Why am I going through this process? Because I want you to see how, in my ignorance, me wanting him to be to hear from him as soon as I heard that he was on the line, I was rushing the process that Allah had set up. So Allah allowed the situation for Brother Shaheed to let those babies recite the Quran. And when we heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speak, Brother Shaheed thought he had lost the connection, but he didn't lose the connection. The minister was so overwhelmed in tears that he had to pause, that the Quranic recitation from the babies was what was already in his mind. How you can't plan that. And the beauty of what he gave us after that was monumental. And that caused the beauty of Allah that is in him to come out and shower us with all of that. And I just say that because he is extraordinary. He is something amazing to wonder. And I just love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for his love of us. And is one thing, in the midst of me being frustrated, I asked myself, what would the minister do? And I couldn't hear my own self because as my frantic want him to get on and make sure y'all have no problems. And we was like, I heard people talking in the background before he came on, but when the minister came on, there was no technical problems. You could hear Chris. You could hear clearly. And it was so beautiful. And just so you know, Dr. Ava, I later that morning, when I got to the mosque, I quickly called Brother Shaheed and told him, I thanked him for setting this up with all those that worked with him. But then I also apologized and I told him about my Negro part as well. But he told me this, Dr. Ava, he said, no praise to me. He said, all praise is due to Allah. And he kept saying that. And we said a prayer together on the phone, thanking Allah for what had happened and thanking and praying for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So now you can go on YouTube, you can go or you can go everywhere and hear those words from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that was inspired. And when he said he's not only the voice for the living, he just, for those that are no longer here, that don't have a voice, he's still speaking for those ancestors. He is so committed to the liberation of us that his whole body and soul is in it, and it's his love, immense, immeasurable love for us that why we're here today, Dr. Ava. And I just wanted to share that, because a lot of times we act off what we think and what we feel, but he acts off the will of God, and he is being guided, as he says, by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that is the beautiful man that is before us. So don't take for granted to not go back and listen to Savior's Day 2020, the Criterion, July 4th, 2020, and this past Savior's Day, the Swan Song from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So with that, we thank you, Dr. Ava, because you have set a platform that has called us to be elevated places, as we heard in the Project Separation, and as we're hearing on this show, and what we will hear later when our brother Student Minister Carlos comes on, because he's also teaching right now Ramadan readiness, and then he's going to break and then come on and give us some more. But you have set the platform for all of this to happen, and the people that are listening are being blessed. And know, just like the Ramadan prayer line, people are hearing us from all, they are hearing people from all over the world. Know that people are listening to Elevated Places all over the world and across this country. So with that being said, back to you, Dr. Ava.
Oh, thank you so much for that testimony. That is so powerful. And the only thing I would add to that is it is important, if you missed it, to hear the replay of the minister's words during the youth prayer service. And these were tiny children, young children.
That's right.
And when I heard them say, "I love you, Brother Minister, we love you," remember that he also said, and I've never heard him pause like that in nearly 40 years. I've never heard him overcome to the extent that there was such a lengthy pause. And as you said, I think you gave everyone the impression that there may have been a disconnect on the phone because it was so quiet. And he shared what the cause of it was. And among the other aspects of it, I think it's important for us to understand what happened, that the God shared with his servant that the prayers of our ancestors had been answered. Because when we were brought here on slave ships, when we were kidnapped off the coast of West Africa and robbed of Islam, these were Muslims, and they were not allowed to call on Allah. They were not allowed. They were robbed of their religion, of their language. And more than anything, what they wanted for their children was for their children to be able to practice Islam, to be Muslims, which is what we are by nature. And Allah, through those babies, showed the minister, "I have answered their prayers. And I have fulfilled their desires." So even though they are no longer here, at least in the flesh, they have received the gift. It happened in that moment. And it just bears further witness to the time we are living in. Right before this call, I received some amazing news that I can't even share yet. It would be premature. It's for those who work to bring it about. But you know how I always talk about we're the winner,
right?
And we need to act like we're winners. We're not only the winner. What's beginning to happen now is we're not only the winner in truth, we're being acknowledged by the enemy as the winner.
Come on.
They ain't hear you, though. They ain't hear you.
Yeah. It's one thing to know that you stepped up and fought the good fight,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how the enemy responds. But when the enemy bears witness to the truth of your position, now we really are moving into the deeper part of this victory. This is all real. It's very real. And I'm just super excited. And, you know, within the next few days, I'm sure it will. You'll know it when you see it, what I'm talking about.
That's right.
But
yes, ma'am. Yes,
as you
ma'am.
Say all the time, brother, hallelujah, okay?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah. And all of the falsehoods and lies surrounding the vaccines and the policies of the enemy and the imposition of rules and laws that compromise our human rights and so-called constitutional rights. Everything is collapsing. It's happening.
That's right.
Right around us. And so we're very happy that we are the winner. And thank you for sharing that experience from Sunday. That was absolutely amazing. With the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and those babies. It was awesome. Thank you for that. So at this time, we're going to get into the law and what is happening as this country unravels. And it's a very dangerous time. It's a great and dreadful day. And so... You know, when a wild animal is injured, they're more dangerous than they were. And that's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with a beastly people who realize that it's over for them. And so they're trying to take as many with them as they can in as many ways as they can. And we have to be watchful, and we have to do our level-headed best to follow our laws, to live the life of a Muslim as to the very best of our ability. And when we're not able, then we have to pray to the God. And we were given that prayer. We say to the God, I confess my faults, all my faults, and please grant me protection against how many? All my faults, for none grants protection
right.
against faults but thee, and guide me to the best of morals, for none
That's
guides
right.
to the best of morals but thee. And turn away from me the evil and
evil.
Indecent morals.
Decent.
For
That's
none
right.
can turn away from me the evil and indecent morals but thee. And look at
but
that
thee.
Acknowledgement in that prayer that he, Allah, is the only one who can turn away evil and indecent morals. Because as this world goes down, and as you pointed out earlier, Brother Terrence, you got to go back to Savior's Day 2020 to get a real grip on what we're living in right now.
That's
the
right.
unraveling of a great nation. Great, not meaning good, great meaning consequential. This nation, the United States of America, is very consequential because she has ruled the planet. And so what happens to her affects us all. And we need to be found clinging to Allah, flying to Allah, and then holding on to him. So with that, and I say that to say, be aware and pay attention to everything. Let's not skim the surface. Let's not be surface dwellers and just have knee-jerk reactions to what we see and hear. But our teacher has been given divine insight. He doesn't just see a thing. He sees into it. And that's what we are all striving. If we're with him, we're striving to acquire that ability so that we can help him complete the mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And with that, I want to bring on my beloved sister, attorney Pamela Muhammad, who's doing such a great work in making known and making comprehensible to our people exactly how the law is impacting everything, including the U.S. policy of depopulation, as she reminded me earlier today. All of this goes back to a policy of depopulation. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, Sister Pamela.
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam and Ramadan Kareem. All praises are due to Allah, Sister Ava, for your words of encouragement as we, you know, do strive to add and give the best information, you know, that Allah puts in our hearts and minds regarding the law. And as I was listening to Brother Terrence, he got me over here weeping regarding the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message. And I have to say I was so blessed because I was actually in St. Louis at the time. And so I just felt like it was so just divinely, you know, the message and the children and, you know, the school as well as Brother Shaheed. My children attended school with one of his sons, and they were over, Sister Ava, at Muhammad Islamic Academy too. And last week when we had on Brother Iman Sultan, and he was talking about prayer, honestly, I was listening to him talk about prayer, I was thinking about my children and have they been trained and do they know the Muslim prayer? And I thought, oh, yes, they did. They learned it in St. Louis with Muhammad Islamic Academy, with, you know, Brother Shaheed's children as well. Mm. So it was so divine to hear that. And then the minister brought tears to my eyes because after what he said, I felt even more inspired to say, we've got to protect these babies. You know, these are our children. And so with that, on Tuesday, April 19th, we had a show entitled Protecting the Rights of Youth in Educational and Legal Settings. And what we have were two brothers. One is an attorney. And one is a lawyer, but he actually teaches high school. And so they were just so beautiful in what they shared about. And one of the things we focused on, Sister Ava, is how the law doesn't see our children as children. And that's the number one right that we have to protect, is that we've got to protect our babies from this beast, as you said, who is trying to kill our children with the depopulation agenda. They're children. Black children aren't seen as adults. You know, black children are not seen as being redeemable. That was one of the topics in these schools and by police. And so there's just this thought, let's just extinguish them. You know, you don't treat them like you treat white children in custodial interrogations. You know, they're just no mercy, you know, just relentless and wicked, trying to trick them. And, you know, the brothers just really shared how it's important for black males, especially to be a brother who's an educator. And this was Brother Deshaun Peoples, who's out of Memphis. He's running for judge down there. And then we had another brother by the name of Gregory Blackburn, who's up in New York as an educator. And so they talked about the perceptions and, you know, just how the judges don't even have sympathy for children. And we know this, but when you're in these courts and you're seeing our children being, you know, just given harsh sentences and disrespected, and then you turn around and you have a white child come in and they're given all the hope and help and optimism. And so we know, again, like the minister was, in my mind, what he was showing us is how Jesus loves the little children. And, you know, so must we. So I just wanted to, like you say, I just had to go to some very horrible stories. Brother Terrence, I thought you were going to say it about what's on social media, where you've had these two brutal attacks on two children. One incident was in Syracuse, New York, involving an 8-year-old boy who was detained by police in Syracuse, allegedly supposedly stealing some potato chips. And then you had another 14-year-old autistic young man who was attacked brutally in Clinton, Maryland. And both of these were video recorded by bystanders. And so you saw the full just what happened. But, you know, in the 8-year-old young man's, in his instance, you know, what you see is just this, the shoving, the rough shoving of the child, child's arms behind the back, baby crying, you know, police shoving him in the back of the car behind some chips, supposedly. And what made it important, an 8-year-old, right, an 8-year-old, and he's just, oh, my gosh, boo-hooing. And the way they're just so viciously and just cold-heartedly just, you know, dominating him, like he, like some of the bystanders say, you're treating him like he killed somebody. You know, even the governor of that state, she said, you know, you can't watch the video. It's too hard to watch. And so, you know, everybody was saying on the video, the bystanders were saying how this child looked like a baby. And one of them was trying to help the child by reasoning with the officers, pleading for the, you know, fair treatment of the child. And they threw him in the back of the car and manhandling him. They you know, the bystander asked, he said, I'll pay for the chips. He's just a kid, you know, and this is how they treated him. And, you know, and that's what we were talking about. Our children are not seen as children and treated as children. They try to end their lives and end their futures in these courts, you know, in these encounters with police. The second one, that the encounter that happened in Clinton Park, New York, you see this. It was just an autistic teen, you know, peacefully standing in a Target. 14-year-old child, he's being attacked, you know, victim of racial profiling. And, I mean, just all these officers, white people come out and they're jumping on this little boy. But it was very interesting because in this case, the child's 17-year-old sister, she came into the protection of her brother. And actually, there was just a big melee going on. This girl, she was handled. You know, just the whole trauma that was seen that shows how the police and the system, the judicial system, treats our children. I just want to say in closing, like, you know, and they say the stats from Children Defense Fund, they talk about how in 2015 to 2016, in schools, there were 61,000 school arrests. You know, a child or a teen is arrested every 45 seconds. That was a 2021 stat. They say that's down from other years. You know, black children are 2.4 times more likely to be arrested than whites. Residential placements in 18 states, including D.C., for children of color is 4 times higher than whites. 67% of children in juvenile justice system are children of color. You know, 41% are black, 21% are Hispanic. So this is a real, what is it, depopulation plot and a plan that's working every day in our streets. So I thank Allah for the minister, you know, really raising up the youth. And I just wanted to add that in terms of what we had talked about on our show and what looks like is in the current news as we speak regarding the brutality of children in America, especially black children. Yes, ma'am. So thank you. And
yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam. And, you know, to hear you talk about young boy's sister coming to his aid. We are also starting to see flashes of the return of our basic survival instinct, which actually was made dormant by the experience of slavery and the slave mentality. And I think one of the worst manifestations of the loss of the survival instinct in recent years was Mother Emanuel Church in South Carolina, in Charleston, in 2015, when 9 members of the church were in Bible study and let that white boy come into the church and welcomed him and sat him in their circle of study, only for him to murder 9 of them in cold blood. And there was nothing that they saw in him or sensed in him that made them take any type of precaution that may have protected them or saved their lives, because we have been made through the slave mentality to take white people as God besides Allah. And so I hate that that happened, but I love hearing that this 17-year-old came to her brother's aid. And until that sense of family returns to us as a community, where we take an attack on one of us as an attack on all of us, then we cannot be said to have regained unity. And I thank you for that. And I think we want to remember what Sister Pamela is saying and bring an end to that. And that is allowing our children to be taken from us and handled. You know, there's a reason the law has the term minor, and why it is that under a certain age, a child is deemed not capable of making rational decisions. And so if you catch, you know, unless it's something egregious like shooting people or something, but if you catch a child that you perceive as stealing, you have no business putting your hands on them and handcuffing them. And you need to find out who the parents are, where the parents or guardians are. But as our attorney is pointing out, and it's important, it's in the study guide about attitude and perception, and attitudes and views hardening into belief systems. And it is the attitude and view that white people have of black people that leads to all of this type of behavior. And this is why you see a 26-year-old Patrick Loyola executed is the headline on the cover page of this week's Final Call, because that was an execution, shot in the back of the head in the wake of a minor traffic violation. And we don't even know that he violated anything, because he never lived to go to court over it. But this involved a license plate. These are the types of encounters that are resulting in the death of our people. And so we are taught and we are being shown over and over again that separation is the best and only solution. And then, Sister Pamela, you and I were discussing earlier, too, the overturning of the mask mandates by a federal judge in Florida a few days ago. And this led to the Transportation Safety Administration, CSA, dropping enforcement of these mandates that require that people wear masks in airports, on airplanes, trains, anything on a federal level. And, of course, commercial air travel is federal because it's interstate. And in the wake of it, the Biden administration, the Department of Justice, is appealing the decision. But as the press secretary for the White House said, either today or yesterday, the issue here is power. He actually said that. See, the concern that they have has nothing to do with public health. This whole thing has nothing to do with health. What it has to do is control, the power to control the lives of the American people. And there is, from some of the media reports, there's an internal battle going on within the Biden administration over whether or not it is wise to pursue this. But what it brings to surface is that, and I think some of us have perhaps missed these points because we're caught up in what our personal opinion is or perception is of a particular COVID mandate. No, the issue we're talking about is the right to choose. The control and exercise of your right over your personal self. And we've watched Kyrie Irving suffer greatly for his choice of his health over this experimental deadly vaccine. But look at how he's being redeemed. And so very quickly, almost as quickly as the enemy tries to impose his policy of depopulation through these recent activities, they get exposed and the truth behind them. So I didn't know if you had a comment on that, Sister Pamela, but I found that to be very significant this week.
Yes, ma'am.
With the mask mandate.
Yes, ma'am.
And the celebration of it by most of the people that they, some people were in mid-flight on airplanes when the announcement was made. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I, like it says, our system does not permit agencies to act unlawfully even in pursuit of desirable ends. I think this is what the language is that the federal judge said. And as you said, Sister Ava, yes. Well, what I'm saying is that I was in the midst of travel and on yesterday, and it was so many people in the airport without, you know, without masks because the pilots didn't have masks, you know, and the people, it was kind of like a sigh of relief in lots of airports. So that's what I saw. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there, as one of them said in the news, well, we can breathe again. But
yes, ma'am.
We want to never forget that throughout this time, see, even as these policies are done away with, most of them have, of course, have nothing to do with health. And if you read your Final Call newspaper,
that's right,
you will know what the real science is, and you will also know the Nation of Islam's position on these policies. But the one thing we have to now watch for, that I promise you that the enemy will fight tooth and nail to maintain, and that is censorship of free speech. They were able to almost 100% black out any dissension, any dissent against the mRNA vaccines, the COVID vaccines. There's never been, to my knowledge, in U.S. history, such a pervasive and sustained propaganda campaign, and it saturated all forms of media. And you were hearing it from anchors and news people who know nothing about the science itself, but are just parrots for Big Pharma. And we are going to face the next big battle is going to be that right. And of course, no one has taken more heat and withstood a more sustained assault against the right to free speech than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But we're but he has prevailed. He is still here. He is still delivering the word. And there has not been one iota of any decline in the strength of his power of speech. It is amazing, because next month he will be 89 years old. So we thank Allah over and over again for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Oh, my goodness. And then I want to say, wait for our special guest tonight, student minister, Brother Carlos Muhammad, I'm looking at the board and see if we could possibly take a few calls. But there is something that I wanted to mention with regard to the upcoming masterclass that will be conducted this coming Tuesday, April the 26th. And that masterclass is entitled The Third. And I just wanted, you can find out more about it if you visit me at MinisterAva.com, and you can register for the class. The registration includes the class itself, access to the replay, and also the course material, which is a booklet that contains a lecture that I delivered at Mas Mariam back in 1999 that was brought to my attention by Sister Donna Muhammad. And I realized that it is timely for this moment. The third force is going to address the fact that we were chosen to be on this planet at this time. We're at the end of a 66 trillion year eternity since the rebellion, which caused God to hide his identity and become a mystery. But now he has made himself known again. So we have to do what he has done, and that is make ourselves known again. And each of us has a very short window wherein we have to quickly identify our own individual divine purpose in real time, right now. And we were given the tools to achieve this through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so we're aware of, or we should be aware of two forces in the universe. And that is the positive and negative, the active and inactive, the polar opposites. These two forces that are necessary to create motion. But it is recognition of the third force that is going to empower us to overcome the last obstacle to escaping from this dying world and getting into the new world that Allah, God, is bringing in. So that's what the class will be about next Tuesday, the 26th of April, at 5:30 Central and 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. And so with that, we're going to pause for a moment and let a few of our callers get in before we hear from Brother Carlos Muhammad on the blessed prescription for humanity known as Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan. And so we're going to go. We don't want her to get too sleepy before we get to her. Our dear sister, Ula. Oh, did we miss her? Oh, she's up.
No, great. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Ramadan,
yes,
Mubarak.
Hey, Ramadan Kareem, so far, praise you a lot. I haven't missed a day. I remember what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan said. Yes, praise you a lot. He said, no matter how difficult it is, make the fast. I did all my reading. I'm a little, haven't finished all my reading this morning. I started it or went up before I left the house. But I did all my days, and I missed one. Praise be to Allah.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I saw you on the separation. You know what I'm talking about, Tuesday. I was so glad to see you.
Ma'am. Project Separation. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. But
the Detroit Mecca Project.
Yes, ma'am. But we as sisters have to be health conscious. We got to stay away from too many sweets. This next month, I'm going to get away from any product that got sugar in it. I just read when Honorable Louis Farrakhan had met with somebody from Kellogg's, and he was saying that everything, that all their products had sugar in them, and sugar was habit-forming and unhealthy. And I have a book called Natural Cures, What They Don't Tell You by Kevin Trudeau, and he spoke about all eight sugars, and he showed you what was wrong with each and every one of them. And I had been for years, all I used was honey and maple syrup, but I'm getting back to it. I'm going to just do the maple syrup and the honey to bake with. If I just have to slap me some cookies on the grill, I would have did it now, but I ran out of vanilla extract. Ha, ha, ha. But Sister Ava, when Minister comes on, I hope he'll remember me. I'm the sister, the only sister in the mosque with the old-fashioned MGT fez on. I think he remembers me from that. Yes, ma'am. You know how we did.
Well, we're blessed that he – thank you, Sister Ula, for that. And I think he is joining us now, Brother Student Minister Carlos Muhammad. And your commentary on sugar was a perfect segue into what he is going to discuss tonight. And that is the prescription for humanity, which is, in fact, fasting. And of course, we have to fight a battle that doesn't have to necessarily be fought in the Middle East, where we're in a country that worships sugar. And it is, it's addictive. The minister has taught on that frequently. It's just as addictive as any drug, and of course the manufacturers of the processed foods that dominate the American diet put a great deal of sugar and salt in the food, and the salt is not only a preservative, but it arouses the taste buds on the tongue. Most of which have been deadened because we've been denied fresh food and real food for so long that we don't know what food should taste like. And it's like nicotine or anything else. You develop an addiction to it. Or certainly,
we got to exercise. And we got to exercise.
Oh, yes.
About 1,400 bicycles this morning.
Yes,
man. We got to keep up that effort. There you
go. Thank you, Sister Ula.
And thank
you,
and may Allah bless you and the family. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And with that, with perfect timing, we have been joined by student minister, Brother Carlos Muhammad, who also is the National Historical Archivist for the Nation of Islam. And he has visited us before, though not often enough, and is a very popular, well-received guest on our program, and is doing a great work in Baltimore, Maryland, Muhammad Mosque number 6. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, Brother Minister.
Wa alaikum salam and Ramadan Kareem, my dear sister, minister, and oh man, it feels so good to be back on Elevated Places, and I'm so thankful to Allah to have finally gotten here in the month. I know we were scheduled to try to do something earlier, but the Thursday Ramadan session, you know, had to be handled a certain kind of way, but I'm just so happy to be back here on Elevated Places.
Praise be to Allah. And we're thankful to Brother Terrence for reaching out to you for us on our behalf. And we've been really blessed this month, and I know you're doing a lot of work that is of such value to Muslims all over who are desirous of maximizing the benefits of Ramadan. And I remember hearing you on the prayer line, and you said something that stayed with me. You said, don't let this month get away from you. There's components of this month that, in addition to the fasting from just before sunrise, just after sunset, there's so much more to this, and so tonight we definitely are looking forward. I want to turn the mic over to you so you can talk to us and share with us. And you're right, because look, today is the 21st?
Yes.
Of April? Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
and for many of us, for many of us, this we've entered into the 21st night of Ramadan. So that means now we're in the last 10 days and nights, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But this month has gone by very fast.
Yes, sir. Well, the microphone is yours, and I've got my notebook out here, my little memo pad.
Yes, ma'am.
And whatever Allah moves you to share with us. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Well, let me just say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. We definitely thank him for his divine coming to us in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad and raising up for us our messenger, Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and, of course, forever to the both of them for extending our days, extending our years of divine guidance and mercy, teaching, leadership, and love, immense love in our midst. In the personage of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I greet your audience, and once again, you, Dr. Ava, assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Oh, dear believers, sister just said it again. I mentioned don't let this month get away from us. I think we were in day 5 of the fast, or maybe day 4 for some.
Yes.
But the reasoning is now with these last 10 days and nights, you may have heard those that have been listening the last few mornings as I've been blessed to fill in for our brother and pioneer and companion of the minister, Minister Akbar. I was saying, tighten up now. And it was in the history of the prophet, peace and prayers be upon him, that when the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan came, he would tighten up his, what we might consider to be a belt, you know, that thing that keeps your garment tight around you. And so that was the significance of our spiritual garment, that as we have come through this month and in the first 10 days of the month, we are awarded mercy. Mercy like no other time of the year. Allah is opening up mercy to us. And then we transition into the next 10 of forgiveness. And then that last 10 is that we are petitioning, and we should petition Allah so much in these nights to keep us free from the intense fire. Some translations say hellfire. Some say torment of the fire. And what is this freedom that we're freedom of the fire? Where's this fire at? It's the fire we left behind when we entered into the gates of Ramadan to have Allah wipe our sins clean and wipe our slates clean. And so it is in this obligation, and I'm pretty sure our beloved student national Imam Sultan shared when he was on, that there are only two types of fast in Islam, obligatory and voluntary. And the only obligatory fast in our religion is the fast of Ramadan. All the other fasts that we do are for the benefit of the self, and it's that which we practice to get up to the obligation that it may be of ease. I remember reading what our boy Elijah Muhammad said, that if we would practice the dietary law given to him by Master Fard Muhammad for our sustenance and increase in years on life, that when we got to Ramadan, it would be easy. I read the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say similar when he said that the three-day national unity fast is suspended during Ramadan, because he said to fast, especially during the month of Ramadan, and because that's obligatory, we don't mix a voluntary fast with the obligatory. However, if we've been doing that voluntary three-day fast, striving the best that we can, then we should be fined in Ramadan, you know? And so I close with this part about not letting it get by. So we tighten up because the fire of passion, temptation, and those things that have led us to gaining debris on the soul, and it has not been able to be filtered away, then Allah brings us into something where he wipes it clean, but yet this world and what it has to offer to us of destruction of self and others, and the fire of the passions and the evil that we've abstained from, not just in the physical act, but in the mental and spiritual act to kind of unplug from it for 29 or 30 days. But guess what? That fire is right around the corner. So I liken it unto how these contraptions that the white man had to come up with in science, that when he left the Earth's atmosphere, in order to get back in it, traction had to have such a huge shield of protection from the intense heat, because the Earth has a protection around it to keep foreign objects out. And so foreign objects have invaded us all year and have affected us, and Allah wants us to go through this process so that they may be removed. But we're getting ready to enter back into nature now, normalcy at the end, but we have to have a shield like those panels on the bottom of that space shuttle that allows it to come back in and withstand that heat. Because, dear brothers and sisters, when we are released from this obligation, there are things waiting for us that this enemy and this devil and even the weakness of self want to pick back up. But I petition you, don't you throw away the gains of Ramadan to go in the trash and pick up the stained garments that you took off to become clean. So we got 10 more days, 10 more nights to pray, to fast, to get strong, but also do work. Go out and do a good deed. Do good deeds for our people. The resurrection of the dead doesn't stop because we're fasting. In fact, it should increase. The propagation of our way of devotion, Islam, from Allah in person through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad should increase during Ramadan, because our spirit is better. Our health is getting better. Our work ethic and view and focus is better because we've made Allah the true center of our very existence. I'm sorry, I'm kind of passionate about it, but
no,
I love this time of year. All praise is due to Allah. So I would leave with this. We hear a lot during the month. We hear a lot in general, but during the month of Ramadan, there's so much being shared on social media about the fast and what to do, what not to do, and much of it is beneficial to us. But then we start hearing this shade and narrative about who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his minister. And I'm saying to you, dear brothers and sisters, without a shadow of a doubt, the most significant moment in the month of Ramadan, what we call the best night, the night of decree, the night of divine majesty, or the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. It is the night in which the Quran began to be revealed to the Prophet, peace and prayers be upon him. So we celebrate this book from Allah himself, that we may enter into a conversation, as our beloved minister said, between Allah and his servant. But make no mistake about it that this book, Quran, that was revealed in the month of Ramadan to Prophet Muhammad was the very cleansing agent that Master Fard Muhammad gave to his servant, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to resurrect a dead black nation that had been lost from itself and lost from its own motherland and mother tongue, Arabic. So let no one ever tell you that from the beginning of the nation to a certain point, the Quran was not a relevant book. How could that be, since the only picture we have of the teacher of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is with his head immersed in the Quran? How could it be that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said out of 104 books, the best one that his teacher gave him was in fact the Quran, because it's a very unique book and it is the root of Muhammad, peace be upon him? How could we believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad cleaned us up, stood us up, and resurrected us to eminence without the use of that book? So I quote from a letter of Master Fard Muhammad to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1933, so that we won't be in doubt. He tells him, stay within the law of the entire Quran, Holy Quran, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And then double down, because he says Allah is with you, brother. Then he doubles back. Read your Quran and be well posted before giving life to the dead nation of righteousness. It is that book, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Holy Quran, that he said he saw his teacher only carry that one book. And believe it or not, as I shared this with you, dear family, it was in the year 2017, I believe, that we went to Washington, D.C. at the Watergate Hotel in November of that month, where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan delivered that warning to President Trump and a warning to America and a warning to the world. And it was not but revelation that came to our beloved. So the next day I was blessed to be with him that morning. And I want you to listen close, and I make no apologies for what I'm getting ready to say, because I believe it wholeheartedly. The minister asked us, dear minister, what did you get from it? What did you hear? What did you see out of what I said? And I said, oh, dear minister, it's as if it was being revealed to you right there on the spot, just as it was revealed to the prophet on the night of power, that it was already in you, but circumstances brought it out. And the minister said, what you say? And I said it again. And I'd use the term Laylatul Qadr. It was as if it was our Laylatul Qadr. And the minister said that's exactly what it was, as the night of power was to the prophet. Listen to this.
Oh my God.
So was September the 17th, 1985, a new Laylatul Qadr and a new Muhammad was born. for this dispensation of time. Oh, I'm going there tonight.
Come on.
Because the point that I'm making is, dear family, is that the continuation of Muhammad is in the coming of Master Fard Muhammad, the raising of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Farrakhan is Muhammad Ali.
Come on.
They are the continuation and the fulfillment of the perfected religion of Allah called Islam. And it is in this month that we pay homage to the prophet through whom it came. But it is also the month that we recalibrate, that we can go out and do as the minister prayed at the prophet's mosque, not praying to the grave of the prophet, but making a dua that Allah would give him a double portion of the spirit of the prophet to complete his mission in America. Dear family, we're not fasting 29 or 30 days for hunger games and thirst. We're fasting 29 or 30 days to get strong in our will so that we can demonstrate the most powerful demonstration that can be seen and influenced throughout the world to take the children of the slaves that had all but been destroyed, and in a twinkling of an eye, we're being made into a new type of people, a new Muslim in America, to correct the disease in the old Islam and do away with it, because we're in a new waxing crescent of Islam in our flag, not the waning crescent in the flag of the old Islam. Oh, sister, you got me fired up.
Oh, you can.
I've been holding that, because I don't want us to think that we're back in the ninth month of the lunar calendar and we're looking at the minister cockeyed as if he did something to deviate from the teaching.
Ooh.
He did exactly what his teacher told him to do in How to Eat to Live. That if you, book number 2, page 58, that if you take up the fast of Ramadan with them, then you're doing the right thing. The minister said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to him, find a way, brother, to unite with the Muslim world.
Come on.
You don't have our beloved's assignment talking about we didn't do it that way when the messenger was here. The minister said the messenger is still here. Worrying yourself about December. The minister said, I don't know why we're trying to get back to December, but guess what? Stick around and follow him. Everywhere you see him, look at him. Everywhere you hear him, listen to him. Everywhere he advises you to go, go. Everywhere he tells you to stay away from, stay away from. If we just do that by fasting in the ninth month called Ramadan with the Muslims all over the planet, in a few days, inshallah, if we are blessed to see it over and over again, we'll be back in December. It will be a Ramadan. But don't worry yourself, family. We're rightly guided with the extension of divine guidance and mercy and a contemporary Muhammad for the contemporary times. So you want to know what a real Muslim looked like? One that was in the gutter of mental death and ignorance and heard a word based out of the Quran that gave us the light and the power from God himself to get up now and reclaim our own and return back to the true nature of ourselves, which is a Muslim. So I'll slow down. I haven't preached that up in Baltimore.
Look at here.
Man,
Sister Ava, we started off talking about the minister. We started off talking about the minister, and then he bare witness, and everybody can be quiet because it came from page 58 of book 2 of How to Eat to Live. So if you got a question, page 58, book 2 of How to Eat to Live.
God.
But he just spoke on what we talked about in the beginning, Sister Ava, just on who he is. And we was there at the Watergate Hotel. We were there. I remember setting up. and been there,
yes,
and bringing out the secret relationship poster and putting it back on the stage and just understanding what went on. That was very, very serious. That Watergate lecture was very serious. And for Brother Carlos to say what he said about the minister, it just keeps pointing to who he is. And you just hit my spear because you're pointing, and we need to keep pointing to the divinity of a man that we are seeing in our midst, but we are missing the divinity. And if we see his divinity, we just need to follow and obey. And that's why, like I said, Dr. Ava, in my ignorance, I was like, hurry up and get the minister on, get the minister on. Don't worry about the children. Get him on now. But when he heard the children, Allah hit his heart. As Brother Carlos verified again, that something that touched Allah hit him at that. Because you were prepared to deliver whatever, but, man, you just. Mm.
Can I say something about that moment the other morning?
Yes, sir.
See, look at what the minister said back in 2004, I believe, at mosque number 45 in his message. He talked about the character of the prophet, peace be upon him, that he would do most of his, or what would be the finest teaching would be at the dinner hour. And the minister said, so it was with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said, the prophet, peace be upon him, that if a child came while he was teaching, he would stop. Or if he was busy with someone, he would stop and give the child all the attention that it needed until it was fulfilled, and then get back to doing what he was doing. So it was with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So the minister says these words. He says, see, brothers and sisters, I've seen this before, that if you don't study the life of the prophet, you will never see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad clearly.
Wow.
That, for me, dear sister, was an extension of how I was seeing the beloved. That I knew that what I was looking at was literally the contemporary Muhammad in our midst because of the character. So when you heard the minister Sunday morning, those children moved him, because the minister does not move as a man that comes to speak as if he's all of that. His mode of mind is that we're all of that, and I've got to give you something from God.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So I'm only saying that he has that same sublime quality when it comes to the youth, come to the children. I bear witness. The first time I met him person to person, I was 16 years old. And that beautiful man asked me and another young brother who was holding posts on his hotel room door looking like little children. And he asked us to come in because we looked like two little boy, like little children. And he asked us in, and he was making a joke. They couldn't get some of the other brothers, you know. And the minister asked us, how is school doing? And I had to be honest, I was at a point where I was ready to give it up because I just wanted to do this full time. But then the minister asked us about, he asked literally, do you have your father in your life? Listen to the question.
Mm.
And neither one of us did. My father had been murdered, unfortunately. May God be pleased with him.
Yes, sir.
And I said, no, sir. And my brother that was with me said, no, sir. He said, I'll be your father.
Mm.
Oh.
Mm-mm-mm. Listen
to that.
Come on. That's right. Mm.
And he said to us that day that he would look out for us. I couldn't wrap my mind around it in the moment, but I watched it manifest.
Wow.
I did not know as a 16-year-old that he will eventually, 4 years later, put me over his followers, a little boy over his followers, over one of his most progressive mosques in city. The brother that was with me, he paid for his college. He's an executive to this day because of the generosity, love, and care of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So when we listen to him, this is not some man that's just some preacher to be compared with people that preach.
Come on
and teach.
Now. Oh,
you're looking at a looking at a real human being that understands the human qualities, even if we don't see it in ourselves. He never looks at the dark side of us. He always pulls at that tiny thread of light until it can manifest to the point where it overtakes the darkness that we see in our own selves.
That's
you got me going on the beloved. Oh, man. That's why that swan song. Can I give you this one? Hey, maybe around that eight minute left, maybe nine. Go back. You go and look at the last message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, what they call the last sermon. Look at the parallel of what the minister was saying to us before he left that rostrum. Why was he saying, pay close attention to what I'm saying at this time? Because the prophet told the crowd that day, listen closely to what I'm going to say because I may never, ever talk to you again. The minister dealt with the rights of women and the protection of women at a time that he would not be here. That's in the last sermon of the prophet, peace be upon him. He talked about settling the differences, even along business dealings. That was in the last sermon. But then he said, you got my life. My life and my word. Just as the prophet said, you have my sunnah and you have the Quran. If you follow that, see, and hold to that, you'll be successful. I'm here to tell you that this beautiful man that I've been following is the walking Quran for me, as well as Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Jeez.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and what could now be called his swan song. You say, what? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a swan song? Well, we didn't know to call it that until the minister brought that to our attention, what a swan song is.
Listen.
If you go listen to Savior's Day 74 in about the last 8 minutes, listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to nation of Islam and to our people.
Mm-hmm.
He says, brothers and sisters, I'm now going to clothe you. Many thought that he was saying clothes, C-L-O-S-E. He was saying clothes, C-L-O-T-H-E. I'm going to clothe you now. Because by the looks of you, talking about the women surrounding him in those beautiful white garments, and I'm making this statement to make it clear, this is no way to be taken as if he was only talking to the sisters. He's looking at their beautiful garments as a sign of something. I want to give that disclaimer because you know how we are. So
come on.
He says that if you are in a white dress, a clean, sparkling white dress, but what's in that dress is unclean, we cannot get respect like that.
Come on.
Then he came back. And even if it's a clean, sparkling white dress or a black dress, if what's in that dress is unclean, we can't get respect like that. Then he goes on. He says, I'm not here just to clothe you in the garments of your salvation, but I'm here to clothe you in the principles of your religion. So he's getting us to see that before I leave you this final time, I don't want you basking in the outer garment. Because if what's up under there is not clean or remain clean, we won't get no respect. And we saw what happened a year after that. The respect and honor we had, we lost. And so the minister wants our inner garment, the inner self, the inner soul to be clean. And what better way to come off the swan song and just a month later enter into the the gates of Ramadan so that our inner can be clean, so that when we put on our beautiful outer garment, it matches the soul, and then the actions in that garment match what God has manifested in our person. So this is the time for us to cleanse and unite. And in that unity, go out and demonstrate and bring our people to the most beautiful expression that they could get, and that is their own nature, Islam. Are there any Muslims other than righteous? The Savior asked. I beg your pardon? I've never heard of one. See? See? Let's do what we supposed to do, to shoot out of Ramadan at a fast pace now. Because
yes,
the job
sir.
Of the messenger of God, as I close this point, is only a clear delivery of that message. So if you want a school, you want bakeries, you want businesses, you want farmland, you want all of this, don't lay that at the door of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or the minister as if they're supposed to give it to you. No, they gave you and gave us the message and the model and the foundation. Now all we got to do is get up and put it into effect. Stop sitting around waiting on the messenger of God to spoil you and spoil me. How will we show our gratitude for him extending our lives beyond the grave that we were on a fast track to? It is by now making a tangible reality of what we've been preaching. And thus, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad followed that model of the prophet, because Prophet Muhammad was the only prophet, brothers and sisters, that was giving a spiritual revelation that ended up with a tangible reality. So out of his teaching from the of the revelation of the Quran in the city of Medina, no more preaching. Now comes mosque. Now comes school. Now comes community life. Now comes law among Muslims. Now comes business, how to do business in the right way. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad preached for 30 years before he decided to put us on economic development. But he, the prophet, proved that he could give a word to a dead people and then give us a tangible reality of what we've been preaching. So we ain't here to talk about what's going to be done. We got to get up and do what needs to be done. Our beloved minister deserves that from each and every one of us that say we love him. So I'll stop there. See, you got your brother all charged up.
Well,
come on.
Historical night, and everybody's going to be playing the archive, going to the archive, replay when all of the listeners get the word out. We are in the ceiling, and I want to bring into the conversation, we're down to about 25 minutes, and another powerhouse that has been under the voice and guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that's Student Minister Jamil Muhammad, who's been listening to his brother. Yes. Assalamu alaikum,
that's
Brother
my,
Jamil.
That's
Ramadan
my mentor. Wa alaikum salam. I am blown away.
Muslim celebration. Tonight.
Yes.
Come on.
This is where the spirit of Allah. Literally, I often wonder, what is it like at that moment when spirit animates flesh? What is it like at that precise moment when life quickens in that which was once dead or never lived before, and now Allah animates it with life? Brother Minister Carlos, don't beat around the bush. Say what you really feel, tonight.
All praise be to Allah.
You know, it's I have a question, student minister, and we were able to get a line and get through, and I know that many other folks are still trying as the switchboards are jammed. I'm not going to try to monopolize time, but I have to say how grateful I am to the elevated places
staff and management, Sister Rona, Brother Terrence, Sister Pamela, the whole crew, and Dr. Ava, tonight's broadcast in the midst of Ramadan with these wonderful witnesses, both of the public utterances and the private statements of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I almost fell down, Brother Carl. You said that minister said to you, "I'll be your father."
Come on,
yes.
Come on.
A man who loves me like that. When you're talking about a man who inspires love in us for one another, the way that we know if we are with him is because we love one another. So my question for you tonight, dear beloved, is how can we who, and I'm going to use a little vernacular from the world of law enforcement. They used to call the old school Sicilian mafiosi. They used to call them mustache peeps because they were who committed to the way of Sicily, even though they were living in New York and Chicago and Detroit and Louis. But they were the old school way. And then the Young Turks came up, and they started creating a new way of doing the enterprises that they did. Now, we don't do those same kind of enterprises, but there is the possibility of us losing track because we've been here long, and we get long in the tooth. And I hear in you tonight, my dear beloved brother, the perfect balance between deep experience and unbounded youthful exuberance. I want some of that exuberance. I want to be like that. I want to hear, come on, brother, tell me, what do I need to do so I don't fall into irrelevance as a mustache teacher? What do I do to become a part of the new way of thinking and to update my Islam to the right down to the modern times? I hope that question is clear. Dr. Ava, I hope I hope it sounds crazy.
It doesn't sound crazy. It's with that. It is a simple answer to that, is keeping our eyes on the one that Allah gave us. Because when he's climbing the ladder of physical age of cycles around the sun, yet he's young in his spirit, but he's matured in the wisdom.
Come on,
and so to
That's
be
right.
honest, though we're all aging by number, I'm not the 20-year-old anymore. I'm not even the 30-year-old or 40-year-old. I know some say, oh, brother, you got ways to go. No, but I've been in this ministry for almost 30 years.
Come on.
But the reality is that as we gain years, we're taught that with years should come wisdom. That in Islam, the prophet said that a man don't even reach maturity until he reaches 40. Then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we don't master life until we reach 75. So we're watching a man that has been through his 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and closing out his 80s. So the minister said to us one time, he said, Lewis died a long time ago so that Elijah could live. And then he said this, now as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was growing up in him, he said, now I have a matured Elijah Muhammad in me. So he doesn't have the Elijah of the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, or the 70s. He got the full 90-plus year run as he's approaching 90 from his teacher. And in that, the life force spiritually that is now manifesting the physical life force given to him by God is what keeps him beautiful and keeps that spirit flowing. But it is a more strategic and on purpose delivery now because of the matured way that God reveals it through his servant for us today. So we don't have to lose our zeal, but we just learn how to master it so that we know that whoever's in front of us will always be relevant, whether they're 5, 15, 25, or 55, or 105, that message will get through to them because God's spirit and God's message never gets old.
My goodness.
Oh,
my goodness.
God. That's right.
Man, now, brother, as I leave, I'm going to give way, Dr. Abel, but my, y'all know I don't own a tambourine, but if I did, I'd be on it right now.
Not a tambourine. Not a minister.
Not a tambourine.
Word. The power of my brother's words is not in the fact that he tells us that he originated them, but they come from Allah in his spirit. And so, brother, student minister Carlos, I want to thank you. I want to thank you and encourage all those under the sound of my voice, and Dr. Abel, that you know where I'm going with this. But there are others who will do similar work to what Brother Carlos is doing, but you don't recognize them at the beginning. Sometimes they come looking like the average teenager, or they come looking like a marble shooting 9-year-old from the Avondale section of Cincinnati. Sometimes they come looking like children, and you have to be able to discern that God is even in those children. And so they sitting in the audience listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with a high top fade, looking like kid in play, right? But I'm not naming names, but I'm saying that those brothers and sisters that you might look over, they are the very fiber, the very stuff, the material of the future, because Allah is giving his spirit to whom he pleases. And you can hear tonight that he has amply bestowed his spirit on all those who have heard, who we have heard tonight. His spirit is on Brother Terrence. His spirit is on all of the staff. His spirit is on you, Dr. Ava. And that's what keeps you there, powerfully relevant day after day, hitting hard and not taking no tea for the fever. That's what keeps you, Brother Carlos, at the forefront of the struggle. And you all are collectively giving the white man, I don't want to say the white man, so y'all get all nervous. You're giving the adversary, the opponent, the open enemy. You're giving the open enemy nightmares, night sweats, all kinds of, what do they call it, ED and whatever else. No, E, what do they call it when you sit up at night? You know what I'm talking about. It's something, GERD, that's it. And if you have esophagus disease, whatever it is, you're giving that man fit because you stand up on truth. And so tonight, Dr. Ava, I'm giving way, but Ms. Carlos, thank you. I love you. I'm proud of you. I love your family. Kiss Grandma on the head for me, right on the forehead, and all the children. We just love you so much. And we're going to go back to listening mode, Dr. Ava, but we support you 1,000% over here at Nothing But the Truth with Brother Jamil and Sister Tisha. We on top of it. We love you all very, very much.
We love you all, too.
We love you as well.
Thank you, Brother Minister. All right. You know, Brother Carlos, when you brought to the forefront tonight is just, this is an experience here.
Man, come on.
The September 17th, 1985 in the wheel. And, you know, the minister wrote in the study guides that once we attain, he put it in one of his introductory letters, I think it was to study guide 9. He said, once we attain mastery of self, there will be no more devil on the earth. And there's you made me think of an article that Brother Minister Jibril Muhammad, in his phenomenal series, Farrakhan the Traveler, wrote. And I wanted to read an excerpt from that article that you put on my mind tonight, and I went and found it, being inspired by you. He wrote this. This is Brother Minister Jibril Muhammad. In order for Allah to build his kingdom so that it will never, ever fall, devil in all forms and on every level
had to be first manifested before being erased. Every one of us qualifying for entrance into Allah's kingdom must have everything in us that is not wanted by God manifested and then removed. Or we can't enter into his kingdom permanently. This process is described in Minister Farrakhan's study guides. We are all undergoing the mother of all detoxification programs. Minister Farrakhan has administered his part of the program masterfully. Rejecting him means fire. And your witness to the minister, your defense of him, your defense of these teachings, your moving into your role as National Historical Archivist and sharing with us the words from the letter that Master Farid Muhammad, God in person, wrote in 1933 to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. All of that was touched upon, all that Brother Jabril wrote here, because you testified and implored us to get involved deeply in this, what he calls the mother of all detoxification programs. And I remember the minister saying to a group of us, some laborers gathered, not too long before the pandemic, and he said, He said, I want to divest you of even the germ of hypocrisy.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
And you just gave us all a whole new insight into the significance of this month.
All praises to Allah.
This is amazing.
I want to, and sister, if I could, when you mentioned those words from Minister Jabril and then prefaced it by those words of our beloved in that introduction to the study guide number 9, it's not an accident that Minister Farrakhan used as the title of that study guide, our intimate relationship with Rabbil Alameen, right?
Yeah.
And then he transliterates for us, Rabbil Alameen.
Come on.
He doesn't say our intimate relationship with the Lord of the worlds.
Right.
He left the transliteration there because it's translated in Maulana Muhammad Ali as Lord of the worlds, and he is that. Because now it's described in the study guide that Allah is Rabb, right? He's Lord, nourisher, sustainer, right? Of his creation that he takes through stage after stage until it reaches eventual perfection. But when we say Rabbil Alameen 17 times a day at least in our prayer,
come on,
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we're praising Allah who is Rabb, but he's also that one that has brought into existence all forms of knowledge.
Come on.
Alameen.
Come on.
Alim. Ilam. Ilam in the Arabic roots. Allah is Al-Alim, the all-knowing Allah. So when we are saying that, Allah says in the Hadith Qudsi that when we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, my servant has praised me. Ever he ask of me, I shall give it to him. Every time we state our Fatiha, we are supplicating Allah in each line to the point that he's giving us something even if we haven't asked, but it's like asking.
Every time you state it, it's like asking him for something, and he said, I'll give it. So what do I mean by this? Do you know that the purification process is going through the stage after stage, and that my stage going through the next stage is not your specific stage going through your next stage? He puts us all on our predetermined path. But when we are not in submission to him, that journey can get thwarted. But his mercy is so great, he gives us a messenger from his own face that we may be called back to the Sorato Mustakim, so that what was thwarted by the devil now is back on track to fulfill our own predestination, and that is whatever the gift or talent is from Allah that he gave us. Close, because I know it's time. But I want you to understand, dear brothers and sisters, that this stage after stage does not stop. Never think that you're perfected. We're not perfected. But as long as we are in progress, we're becoming perfect enough from where we were.
Come on now.
And that's what the minister is saying. Mm-hmm. That's what Brother Jabril is saying about the mother of detoxification. Because which one of us that is on this journey has not become better as a result of that word coming from the mouth of the Honorable Minister and before him, Honorable Elijah
That's
Muhammad
right.
from God in person? It is the wudu and the ghusl. It is the preparation, not just to stand in the formality of prayer, but it is the spiritual preparation to be represented before our people as a new cleaned up soul that is magnetic enough to attract them now to the straight path that the devil took them off of. Oh, man, I'll leave it there, sister. We did something tonight. Allah did something tonight. And I'm just grateful to be a vessel. And I'm humbled to be a helper in this cause.
Oh, Allah. Yeah, you just took it all the way there. And I neglected to give the title. And look what you did. Look what you did with it. Because we have to, as you've been teaching so beautifully tonight, it's not even enough to know his vision. We have to strive to do what he is doing. And that's examine, analyze, and correct self, because we each have an individual purpose, going back to the swan song.
That's right. That's right.
You know, he walked us through. He has been walking us through in so many ways, through his experiences, through his writings, his teachings, his way of living as a husband, as a father, as a man, as a friend, as a brother to us. And we have to do the same thing, because it's time for us to each, as he said in the swan song, this is for you. And if you
That's
listen,
right.
you, I'm going to hit your note. You know, we have to find our own individual purpose. And then this nation will come up. It'll look to people like it came up overnight.
That's
because
right.
that's really what's standing between us and separation, you know,
right.
is our unwillingness to accept these profound words, the most profound words we are taught ever spoken. Four words, God is a man. And that's what Brother Jabril, Minister Jabril, is always exhorting us to do. Learn how to see divinity in a human being. And ultimately,
right.
we have to see it in ourselves. And this beautiful introduction, you introduced to us, in my humble opinion, we're seeing Ramadan on a new level. And this is what happens when each of us is so committed to whatever aspect of this immeasurable body of knowledge that we were born to master. We're listening to a brother tonight, Brother Carlos Muhammad, who's devoted himself to the study and the expression of this word, and not only the word, but in the position of leadership over a mosque in a pivotal city in the United States of America. The place that this is Satan's headquarters on the planet. I mean, we need to understand what the Christians call a miracle of us being able to even pursue Islam, you know.
That's right.
Let alone,
that's right,
to say, having the success we're having. But it's all coming together now. But we are down to 4 minutes, and let me try to get one more caller in here. I see Brother Hoyle has been on almost since the onset of the program. Brother Hoyle, assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Kareem. I'm like Brother Terrence, get that tamarine. Brother Carlos, man, may Allah bless you. Brother,
thank you, Ameen, likewise.
Praise be to Allah, brother. Keep up the good work. Allah chose you for this mission. He saw and he raised you for this, brother. You know, seeing you as a young man, I love that testimony that you told when you were in college, brother. Allah chose you for this, brother. So may Allah bless you and keep you and with the beautiful work you do. And I just want to, we were talking about the Quran. This is in the latest paper. Mother Tynetta said, the Holy Quran opens with prayer as the cornerstone and the basis of our religious belief in the oneness of God. Man is easily misled in his daily affairs when he forgets to turn to Allah alone as the source of strength. The remembrance of Allah is the greatest force. And I just want to end on this note before we go. The minister told us in a three-day lecture in 2003, he said, clean up or you're out of luck with us.
That's right.
You know, that's a message to every one of us, myself, talking to myself, talking to the main one. So may Allah bless you, all of you, with a beautiful show. This is a fire show. But Brother Carlos, may Allah bless you. Ramadan Mubarak, sir, may Allah bless you. Sister Ava, Brother Tate, Brother Terrence, Sister Rona, Sister Donna, Sister Pamela, all, if I missed anybody, forgive me. But let's stay with the Quran and let's stay righteous. As-salamu alaykum, family.
Wa alaykum salam.
Oh, wa alaykum salam. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful closing to this program. Clean up.
Oh,
you're out of
absolutely.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
We have to undergo the term.
Yeah, could I do something if you don't mind? I wanted to invite, it's funny that Brother Jamil was on with us tonight, but I want to thank our National Student Imam. We have been running these sessions since the middle of March on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then on Saturdays. So we want to invite the listening audience to join us on what we call Ramadan Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. You can sign up to get the information of how you can join. Go to iscbaltimore@gmail.com, iscbaltimore@gmail.com, and say, put me on the email list, because we're going to have a beautiful lineup this Saturday, and we're going to be talking about the expression of Islam from the woman's perspective. Yes. And there's a beautiful Muslim sister that we will be listening to named Aisha Prime. And she is such a beautiful, beautiful, and I made the joke. Somebody asked her one time, sister, why are you so different? This was in the masjid where she was working. She said, why do you move like you move? Why do you do what you do with these women here? She said, because I'm the Sunni MGT.
I love that response.
And they didn't know what, that was. They didn't know what that was, but she's a beautiful sister. And we want you to come and join us for Ramadan Saturdays. And if time permits, on the following Saturday, Dr. Ava, we're going to have our Eid edition as we get prepared for the Eid. And if you got a moment just to come on for 10 or 15 minutes just to give us some well wishes as we complete the month, let us know. We would love to have you just stop through and because we're just going to try to get as many ministers and things just to come through and just congratulate us on the completion of our.